Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Turn with me, if you will. Well, before you turn with me, I want to ask you a question. I want to title this sermon with a question and title it with a question mark. Is Jesus really coming soon? You know, most every Christian group that you would ask that question in any denomination would say, yeah, he's coming soon. But you probably won't see that reflected in many Christian lives. Amen. It's true, altogether true, and it's closer than it's ever been. But you won't see the average Christian living in the light of his soon coming. With that expectant spirit and that holy life and that zeal to tell others about him while we have the opportunity. Can you say amen? Because Christ's coming is not just about the rapture and taking us out. It's also about him coming, amen, to judge the earth. It's also about the tribulation. It's also about the Antichrist. It's also about the time of Jacob's trouble. Amen. Something that is centered in Jerusalem, but will touch the entire world. Can you say amen? It's something that's been stored up. It's called the cup of his indignation. And when it's full, the Bible said it will pour out. It will overflow. So many people have their mind on things that tarnish their witness and take away from their enthusiasm. Maybe it's something on the job or something in your family. Satan's grand design is to keep you from representing his kingdom upon the earth right now, and especially the fact that a king is coming to the earth. Can you say amen? And living in that expectancy. People ask me almost every day about something in the newspaper, whether it be heinous crimes or whether it be some kind of terrible immorality or some kind of world-shaking events. They want to know how that fits into the prophetic frame of things. They want to know how does this relate to Scripture? Doesn't the Bible say something about this? Hasn't the Bible spoken about the times that we're living? And a lot of these people go to church, but evidently they're not receiving that where they go to church. It's not clear to them. They're asking me. And the wonderful thing about it, they usually ask me in the presence of other people. And while I can't jump up on the table and preach at work, they forbid that. They look down on that. Amen. Besides, it doesn't work anyway because it scares people away. Amen. But if someone asks a question, there's always people listening. Fidgeting with the newspaper, I notice people fidgeting while I give the answer. Amen. Make some fidget when you give Scripture in a public place. Amen. But we're still in America. And if someone asks me a question, I can still answer it biblically. Can you say amen? And I love to give Scripture because that means I'm not giving my speculative opinions, but what thus saith the Lord. And if there's an argument, it's no longer with me. It makes some people happy what they hear, and some people, clearly, it makes them sad. That's the way truth always is. Amen. It's going to make you sad or it's going to make you glad. But if it makes you sad, you can come to Christ and then you can be glad. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It really bothers people. Christians can bug people. Amen. Because it reminds them. We remind them. If we live for Jesus, we remind them, amen, that there's a judgment to come and there's a day of accountability. The prophetic clock is ticking. I want to make another statement, and time is running out. Say that with me. The prophetic clock is ticking, and time is running out. A little girl was walking home from school back when little girls could walk home alone from school. And that's not too long ago, but they can't anymore. And the huge clock in the town square begins striking out the hour, but this time the mechanism stuck, and all the way to 12 it struck, and it kept on chiming, 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 chiming. She ran home and excitedly ran into the kitchen and told her mother, Mama, it's later than it's ever been before. I want to tell you this morning, it's later than it's ever been before. The fact that so many Christians have become kind of immune to the message, and such a large part of the church no longer lives in anticipation of the coming of the Lord. And the scoffers are rising up saying, where's the sign of his coming? Do you realize that is a sign of his coming? Because scoffers have been in every generation, but particularly in the last day when the coming of the Lord is very near. It said in the last day, scoffers would arise. And they would say, where is the sign of His coming? Because we've always said this signifies the soon coming of the Lord. That event, this circumstance signifies the soon coming of the Lord. And now the world is saying, well, you know, we've heard that all our lives. Ever since our fathers went to sleep, we've heard that. Now, where is it? He's not here. Ever since our fathers slept, we've heard about His coming and the signs of His coming in particular. But He's not here. But God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering. He will not prematurely come and close the door of grace. Amen. Because He's long-suffering, not willing that any perish, but that all might have eternal life. Why doesn't Jesus just come? Because He earnestly wants to save as many as can be saved. Because once He comes and that door slams shut, it's going to be eternally too late for so many. And if they do come to the Lord, it'll be under horrifying conditions, under the reign of the Antichrist. Can you say amen? So we have that great door of grace open and this great window of opportunity to take the gospel to the world. And whatever it is in your life and mine that seems so momentous and so paramountly important, we need to put it aside. Amen? And begin to focus on what's really important and what's really about to happen. Let's talk about God's timepiece. It's been said, if you want to know what time it is on God's calendar, keep an eye on Israel, for it is God's timepiece. Dr. Larry Hedrick writes in a book titled, Israel, God's Timepiece. What an amazing title, huh? God has given the world a unique clock, which tells us what time it is on God's prophetic calendar. While warning against date setting and sensationalism, he explains that anyone who learns to read this clock accurately can have a general sense of when end time prophecies will be fulfilled. In other words, if you can read this clock, if you can understand what's happening in Israel, amen, because there's always been wars and rumors of wars. There's always been earthquakes in divers places. It's nothing new in human history to have earthquakes and wars. Can you say amen? But when they begin to take place after certain events in Israel, they mark the end times. And they begin to take place, as the scripture said, as travail upon a woman with child. Amen? When they begin to take place, the scripture calls them the beginning of sorrows. Everybody say the beginning of sorrows. Sorrow generally means this situation that we're in of depression because of some negative event in our life, and we're so cast down, and there's so many events in the world to cast you down, but not in this sense, biblically. It's only used that way one time in the entire New Testament, and it is the Greek word for birth pains, the same word that's used when a woman goes into travail. And how do you know that birth is coming close? What do they ask you at the hospital? What do they want to do? They want to time the birth plans. So it's not just wars and rumors, it's the frequency of them that's getting closer and closer. It's not just earthquakes, but the frequency of them. Someone has done studies on the frequency, not the fact that through human history there have always been, but not with the frequency. Tidal waves, the frequency. Amen. And the frequency indicates that something is coming very soon. If a woman is having birth pangs and they're an hour apart, you got some time. Amen. The frequency determines how quick the event's going to happen. But if they're 5 minutes apart, they're going to rush you in. If you're in a cab and they're a minute apart, pull over. Can you say amen? Amen. It happens all the time. Birth pangs means frequency. After certain events in Israel, the frequency of all of these other things is going to accelerate until the end. And that frequency is here today. Amen? It's here today. Have you ever wondered why the tiny nation Israel is in the news almost every single day? Why when Israel does anything, it almost certainly makes the headlines? Why the entire focus of peace in the Middle East centers around one little nation, not much bigger than New Jersey? Amen? It's because a prophetic clock is ticking. And the nation of Israel is God's timepiece. And the first thing that started all of this. I'm gonna get ahead of myself for time's sake. I call it the domino effect prophetically. One event begin to trigger other events. Have you ever seen them set up dominoes? I'm always intrigued by that. When they put them vertically on their end and they set them up in some kind of design and pattern, and they're set exactly enough apart. When one falls, it just barely tips the next one and causes it. But they're precisely set. They have to be meticulous when they set them up. And God is meticulous when it comes to prophecy. And His Word, He watches over His Word to what? To bring it to pass. That's why you can believe the Word and stand on the Word, because God is a stickler when it comes to His Word. Can you say, man, heaven and earth will pass away, but what about the Word? Hallelujah. The Word will abide forever. And he that does the will of God will also abide. As eternally as His Word is, you and I become. Hallelujah. God is meticulous about these things. Amen. Things don't just happen, but in the fullness of time. Hallelujah. Amen. God is absolutely meticulous. Look at our universe, how meticulous He was. I mean, it's to the gnat's eyebrow. Amen. It's perfect because God made it, and He made it perfect. Hallelujah. Amen. Our universe, our cosmos, it declares His handiwork and it shows His glory. Praise God. He's done the same thing prophetically. He's meticulous about it. And when certain events happen according to Scripture, it's going to trigger an end time scenario. It's going to push the first domino. And that's going to trigger the end of the end times. If you want to get technical about it, theologically, the end times began on the day of Pentecost. It started the time of the end. All of that. They expected Jesus to come at any time in that generation and lived in that expectancy according to the Bible. 2,000 years ago, they were living with an expectant spirit that Jesus is coming soon. Hallelujah. It kept them pure too, my brother and my sister. Hallelujah. It'll keep us pure in the 21st century. Hallelujah. He that hath this hope purifieth himself. It makes you want to live right. It makes you want to be holy. Hallelujah. It makes you want to be separate from the world. Hallelujah. That's why we need this kind of preaching back in the pulpits of America. Someone needs to start talking about not just how to get a home over in a gated community in a new Mercedes. Somebody needs to talk about the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Do we really believe He's coming soon? The first domino was the regathering of the nation of Israel. Incredible fulfillment of prophecy. Most stupendous, momentous fulfillment that the world has ever seen. Amen. Concerning God working in a nation. Ezekiel 37 is usually preacher's priest to dry bone churches. I'm glad I don't interpret this in the dry bone sense today. Have you ever heard of dim bones? Dim bones? Dim dry bones. A lot of pastors lament when they walk out before a congregation that is so spiritually dead. So we pull out Ezekiel 37 to try to bring them to an awareness of their deadness and stir them up about the revival in the boneyard. Can you say amen? When these bones came alive and they're trying to get these old dead bone Christians to come alive, the frozen chosen to thaw out. Can you say amen? Somebody said, get the polar bear out of the pulpit and you can melt the ice cubes out of the pew. I wish it were that simple. Can you say amen? It's not that simple. You've got to open your heart to His truth and you've got to let the Holy Spirit stir you. I'm going to read this. It takes a little while, but it's worth it. Because I want to show you what it's really talking about. There are many other scriptures, but this is so specific. Ezekiel 37 is about something we saw in 1948. It's amazing that a prophecy this ancient could come to pass in our generation. A generation that we're living in. Maybe not yours. I was born in January 20th, 1947. That means I'm in the generation that saw the fulfillment of this prophecy. Amen. Isn't that an incredible thing to be born into a generation? Amen. And if you've been born after 1948, you have been born into a generation that has seen this prophecy fulfilled concerning the nation of Israel. And it triggers, amen, end time events and it marks the end of the end time. And once that domino falls, and it's already fallen, everything else is in God's timetable. Nothing is going to stop it or change it until all be fulfilled. And the last domino falls. Can you say amen? Wow. What a time to be living while this clock is ticking like it is. Ezekiel 37 says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. Caused me to pass by them round about." I want you to think of the Holocaust as you read this in particular, but the scattering of Israel in general to the nations of the world. As God said, "I will sift them to the nations of the world, but I'll bring them back." "And God caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, they were very many in the open valley." I can almost see those old black and white things. When I was a child, they started to release films of the mass graves of the 6 million Jews that were killed in the death camps in Nazi Germany in World War II. And you can see this. You can see, amen, not just Satan's intense ire against the woman that brought forth the man-child, the nation of Israel, can you say, amen, or the church in particular. But you can see his hatred for those people that God calls his own. And maybe you can understand why you fight such a battle, amen, today. Well, you're in good company. I want you to know that. You have a good God of grace that is preserving you until his coming. So don't be afraid of the devil. Fear the Lord, and you need fear nothing else. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Say that with me. Fear the Lord, and you need fear no one or nothing else. Say that with me again. Fear the Lord, and you need fear nothing and no one else. Can you say amen? Glory to God. "And there were very many in the open valley." This is like a grave. "And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest." What a wonderful answer. Amen. When something is way beyond you to even imagine. "Lord, thou knowest." Amen. "O Lord God, thou knowest." Again he said unto me, "Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord." Everybody say, he watches over his word to perform it. And it doesn't matter the circumstances. Isn't that incredible? "Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord." I want you to just underscore that in your heart. He's Almighty God. Can you say amen? And what's happening in these last days, amen, God is on top of it. All the chaos is spinning, look like it's out of control, and it looks like the devil's making inroads on every side. False teachers are everywhere, but God is still in control. And his sheep still know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow. And those that the Father gave Christ, no man shall pluck us out of his hand. For the Father is still greater than them all. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise today. Hallelujah. God will allow the alternative. He will allow the forbidden fruit. He will allow the propagator of lies to preach the lies. But he will also separate, amen, the true from the false, and the authentic, amen, from the hypocritical. The true church is alive and well. Hallelujah. Because the true God is keeping her. "And I beheld, and lo, so I prophesied as I was commanded," in verse 7. "And I, as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking." Oh, glory to God. "And bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, sinews of the flesh came upon them, and skin covered them above, and but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath." That's the bringing of the children of Israel, amen, back into the land of Israel from the four corners of the earth by his spirit, the wind. Can you say amen? "Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army or a great company of people. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the dead church that needs to be shaken up on Sunday morning. No, something far more significant than that. These bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And I'll put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. Everybody say, He watches over His word to perform it. One writer said, Hath He not said it, and shall He not bring it to pass? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. A people sifted into the nations of the world regathered after 2,000 years to reclaim the promised land. I was born on January 20th, 1947. Israel became a Jewish state on May 14th, 1948, after 2,000 years. Over 1,900 years, they walked down before the United Nations and they claimed their statehood. And it has been a problem in the Middle East from that day. It's a problem this day. It will remain a serious issue until Jesus comes. But keep your eye on the nation of Israel, because the clock is ticking. Can you say amen? The clock is ticking. Time is running out. Israel had to be in the land, existing as a state, for the end time prophecy to be fulfilled. They had to be there. They had to be a state. It happened in my generation. I really like what one prophecy teacher said about the people that would see this and live in this generation. He said Jesus emphasized this point in his teachings about the end times. In Matthew 24, he said for us to watch the fig tree. The fig tree is a common biblical symbol for Israel. Jesus said when the fig tree reblossoms, the generation that sees that happen will be the generation that will see all the end time events come to pass. Isn't that incredible? In 1948, the state of Israel came back into existence. It reblossomed. It put forth its leaves. That was dead had life again. Are you listening to me? And I like this. He said, I believe with all my heart that someone who was alive in 1948 is going to see the return of the Lord. It may be somebody who was 2 years old in 1948. They may be 80 years old when the Lord returns. I don't know. But I sincerely believe someone who was alive then will live to see the return of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to read Matthew 24 just very quickly today. Verse 32 through 34. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when you shall see these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Can you say, man, everybody say the end of the end times. If it's at the door, it's pretty close. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things. If you want to read all these things, read Matthew 24. They said, what shall be the sign of thy coming in the end of the world? Can you say, man, that's what Matthew 24 is all about. This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. One preacher some years ago wrote a book, said in a date for the Lord's return, which is totally unbiblical. No one knows the day or the hour, but I believe we can know the season. God is talking about a season here. Can you say, man, a season of new life and of a springtime spiritually and prophetically in Israel. But he set a date based on the biblical standard of a 40-year generational period, and he used the 40 years and he did the math. 40 years from 48 was 88. And he wrote a book, and someone sent me one, and it was so believable they had him on TBN back then. Amen. Trinity Broadcasting had him on back in the 80s. And they had geared up to run a tape, I understand, in loop. They were so convinced he was accurate in his predictions of time setting. They had run, and they're good intentions. I'm not being critical, but they had a loop set up when they all got raptured. You know, this thing would kick in at a certain time, and it would just start running a call to salvation over and over again over their satellite systems. You want to know the name of the book? I wish I'd kept it. I got rid of it a long time ago because I guess you know why. The title of the book was 88 Reasons Why the Lord Will Return in 1988. You know what it did? It added fuel to the scoffers to fulfill Scripture. Say, where's the sign of His coming? We've heard that all our lives. Amen. All of these mispredictions, all it did, amen, was bring to pass the conditions of the end time when they would scoff at the message. Honey, it's not just the world out there that's scoffing. In fact, the world is more concerned about listening to a prophetic message than many that sit in pews this morning. The earth has become so earthbound, looking at everything through the lens of fleshly appetites, sensual, having not the Spirit. This is not a time to go after gold and apparel. Amen. It's not that God won't clothe you and bless you, and if you give, God will certainly shake it down. Amen. Good measure shaken together, pressed down and running over. Amen. But someone looking for Jesus is a lot more excited about the second coming. Amen. Than the shaking. Hallelujah. And the pressing and the running over of the material world. I tend to agree with the prophecy teacher. People who saw the fig tree blossom and live out their days could well be part of the generation that they're talking about. A nation was reborn in a day and the desert has bloomed like a rose. Mark Twain visited Israel in the mid-1860s and wrote in his book, Innocents Abroad, what a barren wasteland it was. The trees had been cut down. The land had been raped for 2,000 years by foreign conquerors who had no respect for it, no concern for it, no love for it. When the Jews began to go back in the early 1900s, pre-becoming a nation, the Arabs laughed at them for buying the land. Who but a crazy Jew would want malaria-infested swampland and desert? Today, the Arabs want the land back because God has touched it. Can you say amen? Oh yeah, that little piece of terra firma, amen, is on the mind of so many nations round about it. One day Russia's going to come down, thinking to take a spoil of that land. Amen. And that's another message. Amos 9:13-15 says, behold, and there's an allied army coming with them. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman, this is God's, just one of so many prophecies about when He puts people back and He begins a restoration, the land itself begins to flourish. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, Amos 9:13, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. By the way, that's grape juice. Grapevines, not Thunderbird. You don't know anything about Thunderbird, I'm sure. It's only us. That's a BC thing. We won't even go there. And I'll bring again the captivity. It's not a car either. Amen. Anyway, moving right along. And I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. And they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land. And they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. At the entrance to the Holocaust Museum in Israel right now, there is a sign over the top of it. And the sign reads, never again. And I'm going to tell you something. God has done something in the military of that little nation. They don't lose their wars. They are not prolonged things. Amen. Their conflicts are one of their most famous wars. It's called the Six-Day War. And I read in the Tampa Tribune not long after that event, amen, well really it was sometime after, about 5 or 6 years after, that the military strategies used by the generals in a modern day 20th century army, amen, were paralleled and based on the military strategies of the ancient kings of Israel. And you know why it worked? Because those old guys were so smart? No, because God was with them. They may not be always politically correct, and they make mistakes, and they don't even recognize their Messiah, but there's no denying this is God's timepiece, and this is God's time place. Hallelujah. This is God's people in God's land. God will do the chastisement. It's not up to you, and it's not up to me. If you've got problems with that, get back in your Bible and get in an altar as soon as you can. God has made it a beautiful land once again, just as He promised. Today, Israel is the breadbasket of the Middle East. The Israelis have planted over 400 million trees all over the land. And rainfall has increased over 450% so that the desert is blooming like the rose. Somebody say, what a coincidence. No, it's not a coincidence. Amen. It's God bringing His Word to pass, just like He promised. By the way, whatever you're standing on the Word for, amen, take courage in your heart. If God can take a nation, amen, that was a set for death, despised of the nations of the world, that looked like they could never come up out of their graves, separated from one another and from the four corners of the earth, bring them back and establish them never to be plucked up again, God can do something about your situation. Hallelujah. His Word will work for you. Hallelujah. Woo! I don't need a liver shiver confirmation. All I have to do is look at God's prophetic timepiece and say He does watch over His Word to perform it, and nothing can stop Him. Not my symptoms and not my enemies and not my circumstances and not the devil himself. Hallelujah! Stand on the Word. Hallelujah. Matthew 24, 34. Says this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. It's the domino effect. And it started in 1948. So what should we be doing? As Christians, we should be living in a state of expectancy. Everybody say a state of expectancy. Israel, as Tim LaHaye likes to say, is God's timepiece. It comes up everywhere you turn. Its foundation is the super sign. Significantly, LaHaye writes, the return of the Jews happened in our generation. LaHaye, at the time of this writing, was 70, in his late 70s. And he said, more weighty evidence that we are indeed living in the end times. Something of enormous proportions is about to happen. Hallelujah. How many know the coming of the Lord is a pretty big event? Amen. The average Christian this morning is not living in a sense of holy anticipation of that event. How do you know? Because we're seeking after the temporal and we're putting them over and above the eternal. Amen. We're looking for heaven on earth. Amen. Instead of Jesus coming to receive us and take us home. It's because our hearts have become earthbound and earth-centered, and the Laodicean church is alive and well. We're rich and increased with goods, and we have need of nothing. Their heart for God was long since calloused over with materialism and a worldview. It's amazing when people read the Bible with a worldview, all they see is stuff. They don't see Him anymore, and they don't see home anymore. Philippians 3, 20 and 21 said, for our conversation is in heaven. This means citizenship. From whence we also look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned unto His glorious body according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. What an incredible statement. Amen. Job said, though the skin worms eat my body. Amen. We used to sing around Halloween when I was a kid. The worms go in, the worms go out. They're in your nose, they're in your mouth. It's not for the squeamish growing up in the 50s. Can you say, man? But do not fear, my dear friend, for the worms will go in. The worms will. Isn't that a terrible thought? You know what? This old body, whether it cremated, whether it rots away, whatever happens to it. Amen. Job said, I got a Redeemer that when He comes and stands on this earth, though the skin worms chew my flesh off and there's nothing left but bones, when He stands upon the earth, I'm going to see Him. Hallelujah. Amen. In my flesh. Woo! Why? Because He's able to subdue everything. Because the skin worms ate it. And then they eliminated it. And then it went somewhere. Can you say, man, it got into microscopic areas that you can't even think or see, but God knows where every element of it is. He's keeping track of it. Praise God. Amen. Every one of them numbered. And all of it's going to come back together at the resurrection of the just. The sea's going to give up the dead. The graves are going to pop open. Hallelujah. You say, what about the guy that was burned up in the 9/11 in that tower and they couldn't even find his ashes? It doesn't matter. God's able to subdue everything to himself. That's what makes him God. Woo. Hallelujah. I like the paraphrase that reads, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly awaiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take these weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same mighty power he will use to conquer everything everywhere. Are you looking for Jesus to return? Are you eager? Are you eager? If you are his and you truly love him, you can't wait. Maranatha, even so, say even so. Come, Lord Jesus. Hebrews 9:28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him. It's kind of going to separate the true church, isn't it? To them that what? Look for him. The true church is looking for Jesus to return. Don't let no one stifle that in you. Keep that great hope, blessed hope alive. Can you say amen? And to them that what? Look. Them that anticipate. Expect, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation, which simply means he's not coming to bear sins. He's done it at the cross. He's not coming in that coming to judge sin. He's coming for his bride. Woo! Don't even get me off in the wedding supper. Hallelujah. Paul, down at the end of his life, saying, I'm ready to be offered up, poured out, and he's talking about all these things and going home to be with the Lord, dying a martyr's death. Verse 8 of that scripture where he's talking about the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've run the race. I'm ready to be offered up, which means poured out. Like a drink offering was poured out. Hallelujah. To the last drop of my life for Jesus Christ. Amen. And he said henceforth in verse 8, this is what he was looking past all of that suffering, past the pain, past the moment in time. And this is what he was looking at. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all those who love his appearing. Can you say amen? Oh, there's a lot of different marks of the true church from the and the authentic Christian. Amen. One of those great marks, hallelujah, is that we love his appearing, and we're looking for his soon coming. Amen. Everybody say Maranatha. Look at someone and say, Maranatha. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. The word in the Greek, look, means assiduously and patiently wait for. Everybody say assiduously. Oh, yeah. I see. I didn't know either. I had to go to the dictionary. I'm beginning to get a handle on the Greek. It's English I'm struggling with. That's what it says in Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Greek. Assiduously and patiently waiting for. Assiduous means marked by careful, unremitting attention or persistent application. I mean, the church needs to get focused on the soon coming of Jesus. Can you say amen? Marked by careful, unremitting attention. And the example given in the dictionary was she was assiduously working in her garden, giving total attention to those flowers and those shrubs. Where's the attention of the church today? Where's the biggest shout? Where can I get a word from the Lord? Where can I have a good time? Where can I get more stuff? Why can't I get an airplane? Why can't I drive a Hummer? Can you say, man? the authentic church is going to sense it. It's like a magnet and steel. Amen. You put it in proximity, the steel starts to shake, drawn with such power toward that magnet. If Jesus Christ isn't like a magnet and you're not like steel, then the Holy Spirit wants to do a work in you today. Because one day that magnet is going to get so strong that the steel is going to jump up to it as it comes closer to us. Can you say, man, that's called the rapture of the church of Jesus Christ. I do believe that. We should be living in a state of readiness. These are the wise virgins. These assiduous people. In the parable in Matthew 25. Listen to Matthew 25. We should be living in readiness, not only expectancy, but readiness. Matthew 25, you've heard this before. I'm going to read it as we hurry to a close. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Everybody say they were not ready. You know, if the storm had come, we have batteries, we have water, we have gas, in case it wobbled or came in, because we've been told to be ready. Didn't Jesus tell us to be ready? He said, be ye also ready, for in an hour you think not the Son of Man cometh. Are we living in a state of readiness? Is the church ready for the coming of the Lord? Is the church ready to meet the King, particularly the church that is denying His name, denying the authenticity of His word, denying His right to rule over us? Can you say amen? Are we ready for the coming of the Lord? Is the Christian man that's going out on his wife this week, amen, with someone from work, is he ready for the coming of the Lord? Is his lamp trimmed and burning? I believe the message of holiness is going to come back to the church, not in the legalistic sense that it once came, but in the loving sense that says, this is my King, this is my Master, this is the one I bow to, this is my God. I live for Him unashamedly in a wicked and perverse generation, that I may shine, enhanced by the darkness around me, as light in the world, holding forth the word of life. Hallelujah. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight there was a cry. Oh, Zola Levitt does an article on this. It's just so wonderful because it follows the pattern of the Jewish wedding to the T. God is a stickler for all of this. Every part of it to a T fits the ancient Jewish courtship, espousal, and wedding ceremony, even the consummating of it. It's all in the book, and it follows that ancient rite. Hallelujah. At midnight there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Everybody say, it's got to be personal. You can't get saved on your mama's faith. Some brother and sister that always goes into intercession. We got people that come here occasionally, and they are totally dependent for deliverance based on your prayers. They can't seem to stay in a right relationship with God where their prayers can be heard. And God in His mercy has answered our prayers. But I'm telling you, my brother and sister, on this day, it'll be too late to go buy oil from someone else or borrow it from someone else. You've got to know that you know that you know. You don't get into this kingdom by osmosis. You don't pass into it because your mama had you sprinkled or christened. Can you say amen? You've got to know Christ. Repent of your sins. Be baptized in water to reflect something that's happened to you on the inside. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. Listen to this next little verse, part of the verse, the end of it. And the door was shut. That echoes Noah to me. When he entered the ark, which is a type of Christ, he didn't shut the door, but the door was shut. It said, and God shut the door. Why? Because he wasn't just an ark builder. The Bible says something more about him. We find out in Hebrews chapter 11, this faith hall of fame. Now Noah, a preacher of righteousness. Can you say amen? Everybody say a preacher of righteousness. He preached to a gainsaying world for 120 years while he built that ark. But a day came, amen, when the message unheeded caused the door to be shut. And no matter how hard they beat upon the door would not be open past that point. Folks, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day that the Son of Man cometh. Are you listening to me today? We ought to have an eye and a heart for evangelism, an eye on the harvest fields. This thing's about to close, and it's not just that we are going safely home if we love His appearing. So many people are going to be locked out of that opportunity of grace, go through the tribulation, and many souls be damned. And look at this again. It's the same scenario. Verse 11, and afterward came the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord. Have you ever heard that term? Many will say it to me in that day, Lord, Lord. These are professing Christians. The pagan world doesn't call him Lord. These are people who have been active in proselyting because they're going to say, we've done mighty works in your name. And he will say unto them, depart from me, I know you not. All is symbolic of the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit indwelling. I'm not talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about when Christ comes into your heart. Any man that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of his. By the way, all of you that operate in gifts and speak in tongues, you're not going to be the only people in heaven. Oh, and something else, you're not going to be the only people that make the rapture. What saves you is the Holy Spirit. Is the blood of Jesus, and what seals you is the Holy Spirit. Not baptism in the Spirit, amen, in the terms of gifts and power, amen, is being born of the Spirit. It's the new birth that qualifies you for heaven and makes you ready to go home. Somebody said, some Baptists are actually going to heaven. And there may even be some Methodists there and a Nazarene or two. And maybe even some Pentecostals if they don't run past the gate. Verse 13, but he said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Verse 13 says, watch therefore. What about that word watch? Watch and pray. Watch therefore. Watch therefore. Watch therefore. For you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. So watch. Watch in the Greek is a word that is similar to look in the Greek. It means to give strict attention to. And it also means to be cautious, to take heed, lest through remission and indolence some calamity suddenly overtake you. Didn't the Scripture say that we are not the children of the night, that that day would come upon us as a thief, but we are children of the light. Amen. Didn't the Bible say, beware lest your heart be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, that that day overtake you as a thief? It says, if we'll watch, we'll be ready to escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man. Isn't that incredible? Watch. Watch. Jesus is coming to receive the righteous and to judge the wicked. We should be living like authentic Christians. We shouldn't be envy in the world. My son, let not thine heart envy sinners, neither go ye after them. And we shouldn't be envying the materialistic Laodicean church that is thriving in this culture, because it is not counterculture. Its values parallel the culture's values. The gold, the silver, the fortune, the fame. There's no place for anyone who isn't the CEO anymore. There's no place for anyone who isn't among the rich and regal of this world. I'll tell you something. When Jesus comes, that's going to change. Many are going to claim Him that He's going to disclaim. I want to be ready. We used to sing, keeping my records, bride, watching, both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. My pastor preached on the coming of the Lord being so imminent, he wouldn't let us sing it that way anymore. He said, if you're going to sing it, he said, because there ain't going to be no time to get ready. So sing it this way. I am ready. Remember the song? Anybody? I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl, keeping my records bright, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world to prepare a mansion. Jesus said, I'll go. And we just got on. We got on. And my pastor said, no. My early days of Christianity. Sing it this way. I am ready to leave this world. And boy, we got into readiness. Praise God. He wanted us to be ready, not to be getting ready. 2 Peter 3:10 through 14. By the way, the coming of Jesus for the church ushers in the day of the Lord, ushers in the tribulation, the final judgments. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening to the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. It's a question. What kind of people ought you to be in light of what you know about what's about to happen? Just like the world? A lazy, kind of laid-back, little casual church group that just loves to get a little blessing on Sunday? Or should you be living in a sense of anticipation and holy awe? Should you be moved this morning? Should you be stirred today? Hallelujah! What about your lost loved ones and backslidden Christians? They need to get a grip on this thing. His coming is at the doors. This is no time to be playing footsies with the world. It's time to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Be the people that God is coming for and God has called us to be. And don't draw back from preaching, amen, that has a cleansing effect in your life. God loved the church and gave himself for it that he might cleanse it by the washing of water by the word. God wants you clean. He wants you ready. He wants your lamp full of oil, your lamp trimmed and burning. So when the cry comes, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet him. You can jump up even if you're in your grave. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise. Verse 13 said, nevertheless, we, this separate community, this righteous remnant, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. There's that word, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Living holy is not an ancient, antiquated message that's associated with legalism so much that we don't preach it anymore. It is the unalterable standard for the children of God. For end time prophecy to be fulfilled and closed in Israel must be regathered. They must be in the land. They must also reoccupy the city of Jerusalem. Not just be in the land of Israel, but reoccupy for end time prophecy to be fulfilled. This domino effect, it started in 48. It's running. It's running today. It's running. It won't quit running. This is the end of the end times. Everybody say it's going to finish up. It's not going to be altered. It's not going to be paused. It's not going to be stopped. It's going to run. This generation shall not pass till what? All these things be fulfilled. Boy, if I was you, I'd get my mind off the mundane. I'd get my mind off what's bugging you. I saw a big T-shirt the other day with a big green frog on it. Said, I wish I was a frog so I could eat what's bugging me. Can you say amen? I'm going to tell you something. The main thing that you need to do is get refocused on things bigger than your little world and my little world. I've had some bad days at work and good days. I've had some days, one day it got so bad, I didn't hurt anybody. I didn't even hurt myself. I didn't say anything that I was sorry for saying. However, there's some big old plastic tubs, and I kicked them both over. I kicked one over that way, and I kicked one over that way. And people looked at me and said, oh, Rev. And I said, why? No, I didn't. I said, I just, you know, you got to do something sometimes. Don't kick your dog and don't hit nobody. Amen. Just, you know, if there's something that you can't hurt and it won't hurt you doing it, you know, maybe just kick that over and go on. I'd like to get a hold of the devil when I'm that mad. Like what Reinhard Bonnke said, I'd like to grab him by his goatee and shake him and show him that Jesus is Lord. He knows it anyway. Luke 21, 24, King James Version. Listen, they shall fall by the edge of the sword. They shall be led away captive into all nations. This is the nation of Israel. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time. Everybody say God's a stickler. Until the time. Until the time when the Holy Ghost come. In the fullness of time. When did Jesus come? In the fullness of time. Hallelujah. Until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. God says that day is over. A new day of prophetic relevance has begun. Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. These words of our Savior have been gloriously fulfilled in our day. One great event marked the beginning of the end. After almost 2,000 years of Gentile rule, the holy city is back in the possession. Jerusalem belongs to Israel. Isn't that incredible? One prophecy teacher commented, the reoccupation of the city of Jerusalem, I consider to be the most important sign of all that we're in the end times, because it came from the lips of Jesus. The Jews will fall by the edge of the sword, be led captive among the nations. That happened in 70 A.D. when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. Now remember, it started in 70 A.D. That happened in 70 A.D. He then added, Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And that's exactly what happened. Jerusalem fell to the Gentiles when the Romans destroyed it. The Romans were followed by the Byzantines. And the Byzantines were followed by the Arabs. The Arabs were followed by the Crusaders. The Crusaders by the Mamluks. And the Mamluks by the Turks for 400 years. The Turks were followed by the British. And the British by the Jordanians. And then on June 7th, 1967, praise God, the Jews reoccupied it, the holy city of Jerusalem, for the first time in 1,897 years. That signified something. The times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. The day of man is coming to a close, and the day of the Lord is about to begin. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! Wow, God is at work in our world today. They were looking for His first coming. Listen, oh, let me finish this. And when Jewish soldiers went to the Wailing Wall and fell upon their faces and began to weep and cry before that wall, Rabbi Shlomo Gorin, the chief rabbi of the Israeli army, came up to the wall and blew a shofar. Give it a shot, because this is a shofar. This is a ram's horn. He didn't blow a trumpet, he blew a shofar. Just any sound will just give us some idea. Hallelujah. 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 Then he lifted his voice and said, quote, I proclaim to you the beginning of the Messianic age. You see, they're still looking for Messiah. But even they know He's coming soon. Can you say amen? You see, the Orthodox Jews know the Messiah is coming soon. That's one of the paradoxes of our time. They were looking for His first coming. We know He has come. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus. And He's coming back for His bride. And He's coming to judge the earth. And you and I will meet Him face to face, either as our Savior or our judge. Will you stand to your feet today? Number eight, please. Number eight. Number eight. Number eight. Number eight. I don't know what you're facing today, but look at God's timepiece and know that God's word is true. Know that He watches over it to perform it. Hallelujah. I don't think I've ever preached faith in the Word of God and standing on the Word of God in a prophetic context like this, but it gives me courage just in my daily life affairs to know that God watches over His Word to perform it. Hallelujah. And what He has promised, listen, it's a timing thing. Everything in your life is a timing thing. Honey, when God gets ready, Not when we're in our impatience. I want it yesterday. But in God's timing, this ministry is going to flourish. In God's timing, this church is going to go up. In God's timing, we're going to begin to affect more and more souls for Jesus Christ. Amen. All it is a timing thing. It's not the devil keeping us from anything. It's a timing thing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let that come forward. Let's give him praise. I'm going to ask a question real quick. Is there anyone in here that doesn't know Jesus as Savior? If he came today, you would not be ready. There's no oil in your lamp. You couldn't go out to meet him. May I see your hand? Anyone in this room? Anyone in this room? All right, I'm going to ask a second question. How many Christians in this room? By the way, you can still come to this altar if God draws you. I don't close that door. That door is open and extended. Sheila Bakora, we used to try to get them in altars by saying, this is your last call. I'm glad to tell you, there may be a last call somewhere down the line, but I'm glad to tell you the door of grace is wide open. It's not God's will that any perish, but that all have eternal life. I'm glad to be a proclaimer of that good news. The door of the ark is open, and the clouds are coming and rolling in. I know it's never rained. Amen. But it was going to rain because God was bringing that judgment. Shitaraba, Keshala, Netaraba, Halabadine. Glory to God. Before my first coming, saith the Lord, I sent my servant John with a message to his generation, saying, make the crooked path straight, and prepare ye the way of the Lord. And lo, I am coming again. And yea, I will send forth a message to your generation. And the message is the same. Make the crooked path straight, and prepare ye the way of the Lord. And my people would be glad to hear the message. And my people will rejoice in anticipation. And my people will cleanse themselves from iniquity, and prepare themselves for the marriage supper of the Lamb, saith the Lord. Somebody give him praise in this place. Look at somebody again before we worship for 3 minutes. And look them in the eye and say, Maranatha. We love you, Jesus. Let God arise. Oh, Jesus, I praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He korobo sandara masilaba. Shelabakina no mosata. Netorabo. God, deliver us from the status quo. Deliver us from the status quo. Shelabadi. Pro shalabakiti. Ne shalabode. Ne torobokor salabakita dananaba halabadite ne ndorobokor le shilamona. Father, we praise you. You're welcome in this place. Let your glory come. Let it come. Let it rest upon this place and this people. Let us reach the lost, the backslidden, people that are twisted and torn, pulled by the world more than pulled by you, struggling. Oh God, oh Lord, send revival to us. Shela Bakora Sada, revive us again that we may rejoice in you. Hallelujah. Will you join hands? We'll try to close this service. And sister, you just feel free to seek him. Thank God. See, I'm drawing my sheep to myself, my children to myself. Yea, that I may keep them safe in this very dangerous time, saith God. I'm drawing my people to myself, saith the Lord. I'm gathering them. Yea, I'm gathering them, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give him praise. He's so gracious. He's so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you join hands with one another? God is so gracious. God is so gracious. Hallelujah. If his coming is this soon, we should hear it. It shouldn't be a lost message. Not in the last days. That message should be paramount. It should be in the forefront. And if we're not hearing it, what has happened to the watchman on the wall? What has happened to our preachers? I want you to pray for preachers today that are under extraordinary pressure to conform to the values of a culture, to conform to New Age blends, pseudo-gospels, pseudo-Jesus. Lola Bokoshala. Pray for the compromised church because she's in trouble today. Sholobokola, because if the blind lead the blind, we all go into the ditch. And it doesn't matter how glorious the leader that leads us there. Sholobokoshalamana. Or how many people follow that leader. Truth stands apart from the crowd. Can you say amen? Mishulabada. You say, Pastor. You say, Pastor, what gives you the right to judge anything? Look at your puny little church. This is not about the size of a church. This is about a book called the Word of God. Hallelujah. 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 Shandadabaki. Brasholabone. Nekalabasiti. We got more people today that can quote what a man wrote in his book than what God has written in his. Shandadamaniti. Sholobora neta kiko robohosanna nekalabasele ninadara shalabadite kisholora. Hallelujah. I thank God to be preaching in this little church this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to try to close again. In true revival, my son shall be exalted. In true revival, my word shall be exalted, saith God. Yea, in true revival, I will be lifted up, and my people will bow once again before me. And obedience shall mark true revival, not just singing, dancing, and shouting, but obedience and allegiance to the Lamb, saith the Lord. Somebody give him praise in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Can't call him Lord if we don't do what he says. Praise the Lord. Let's join hands. We're going to try for the fifth time to close. Heavenly Father, I've enjoyed you today. Lord, you've wore me out. Hallelujah. God in heaven, I bless your name. I exult in you. I praise you today. Father, I thank you for your visitation. I thank you for this people who have a heart for God and a love for truth. And I thank you for what that truth is going to do in our lives, Father. We're going to continue in your word. So we're going to know the truth, not just intellectually, but experientially, by obeying it, putting it into practice and doing it. And Father, we're going to know the truth that way, and that truth is going to make us free. And Father, we thank You for the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We thank You for the people, Lord, that are going to lift up Your name in this last closing day and hour. And thank You, Lord, for the many that are going to come to know You, because we have back the joy of our salvation. In the name of Jesus, and everyone said amen and amen. Shake someone's hand and tell them again, Maranatha, before you leave.